Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy freezing Tuesday, everybody. It is 15 crispy degrees here and partly sunny here in upstate New York. At least it's not snowing anymore. We only got a sprinkle, actually, so I can't complain too much. There are people who got it way worse than us. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show NASA, Killer Bugs, Contagious Cancer, and Fungal Alzheimer's. And that's where we ended up the show. They think now that maybe one of the many causes for Alzheimer's could be a fungal infection of the brain, which is pretty strange. And we might actually take another look at that story today, because I think the brain is going to be part of the topic we look at. When isn't the brain the topic we look at? But yes, we're going to switch to brain mode today. But you know, we kind of hit a couple things yesterday. We looked at some of what is going on now with insects, and we dug into the biowarfare program, or the program that supposedly doesn't exist anymore but is under the guise of vaccines and defensive posture. And one of the things back in the old days of Plum Island, where the secret biowarfare program was being run back before 1972, is that they were using insects as disease vectors. Now we're seeing, we've been watching, and now we're seeing some genetically modified mosquitoes. A company named Oxitec, and we're going to look at them today, because there's been some purchases, sales, and acquisitions that are pretty damn interesting. I think we touched on that once before, but I found a more recent story that reminded me that we should be paying more attention. But we're seeing now in South America, Brazil in particular, now Puerto Rico, and there are other South American nations that now they're warning that there's this massive outbreak of this Zikvig. I can't say it. Like, some call it Z-I-K-V, Zikvig, and that's in the science journals, Z-I-K-V. And then in some of the publications, they're calling it Zika, Z-I-K-A, probably lots easier to say than Zikvig. But they're warning women not to get pregnant because it is causing microcephaly in the infants. And it is very, very, very disturbingly similar to the type of genetic modification that they were making to the mosquitoes that bit these ladies, or to mosquitoes similar to the ones that bit these ladies, where the offspring of the mosquitoes would never fully mature to adulthood. They would wither up and die as a part of pest control. So I'm just really hoping that this is not what is happening here to humans. Seems very suspicious to me that they let these mosquitoes go in July 2015. And by the time we hit October, we had this epidemic of these cases, and it's spreading everywhere. And they only had one or two sprinkle cases, and now they have over 2,700 in just a few months in Brazil. Same region of Brazil. I think we read yesterday for both stories, or 2 days ago, was the Northeast region. Oxitec's an evil company. You know, they wouldn't let them release their hounds, their mosquito hounds in Europe. They said, oh, no, you're not. Not here, you're not. And so they went to, like, Cayman Islands. Then we found out those genetically modified Oxitec moths. I've mentioned those a lot of time, but that pissed me off. That's right here in New York. And after everybody told them no mosquitoes, they came and backdoored it with Cuomo. Cuomo, Mr. Slippery Pit in the middle of the night. Cuomo. Without approval, Cuomo. They didn't even do an environmental impact study. They just let them go, right over the bend behind those trees. Happened to be an organic farm. I don't even know where those, what happened with the end result of that organic farm and those genetically modified moths that Oxitec let go. Can you sue? How do you prove it? Your GMO moth took a shit on my cabbage. Look. I don't know. How would you prove that? How would you have someone come back and prove to you that your farm is no longer certified organic because you had some Oxitec genetically modified moths shitting on your cabbage? I don't know how you would prove that. How could you be disqualified? They're going to come around with, like, moth collection. I don't know. I don't know. There's anyone out there that knows about organic farm certification and decertification, that might be a good topic. We should all start our own organic farms. I know it's very difficult, but at least grow your own food because you don't want to be eating this stuff. I'm telling you. You know, one little experiment, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but a couple weeks before Christmas, I actually was experimenting on myself again. Because, of course, you know, hey, you're your best guinea pig. I know I've been my best guinea pig all these years. And I'm usually pretty good. I don't push the envelope too far. But one of the experiments I was trying on myself was that for many years now, I have not been able to drink orange juice anymore because it is just so damn acidic and it fries the crap out of my stomach. And we have a local grocery store chain here in upstate New York named Wegmans. Anybody's from this area or anyone lucky enough to have a Wegmans near them, you go, oh, you have a Wegmans. Yeah, we have a Wegmans. And Wegmans is a great store. Danny Wegman is local to Rochester. He's taken a lot of pride in his business, and he listens to his customers. And he's tried to do, I mean, honestly, he's a great businessman as far as trying to do the right thing, trying to have good prices, you know, and not be a greedy bastard. So anyway, one of the things that he has totally stepped up, and I got to say kudos to Danny Wegman, is that with all these removal of labeling laws and getting rid of country of origin labeling and this type of thing, Danny sees that people don't want to be eating poison food. And so he started with a little toe in the water a while ago with his organic section. He actually had a whole organic section of the store. But what he started doing now is he got rid of the organic section. Everything now, just about, has an organic equivalent. You can buy the one with the own label, or you can buy, look, there's an organic equivalent. And he's even started his own organic line. Now, talk about a good businessman. And, you know, hey, he's probably making a profit, but I'm going to tell you what. As compared to Wegmans competition, who also does organic, but nowhere near as good, and they're a little more nationwide, the pricing, there's no comparison. Wegmans has managed to keep the pricing low on organics, and I'm sure it's because they sell it in huge volumes, and it's wonderful. They even raise their own chickens and everything. They have their own farms and whatever. But here's my experiment. So I've been able to drink orange juice for years because it fries so bad, and I love it. I really love the taste of oranges. Fresh oranges don't bother me, but orange juice does. And I had a friend tell me it's because it's not really orange juice. It's esters and flavors and smells. Because they mix all this crap in there together. So it all tastes the same. And I was trying to determine the other day as to what really is going into non-organic orange juice versus organic orange juice. Because, by the way, so we bought some organic orange juice because I saw they had it. I was like, hey, organic orange juice. And I mix my greens up in the morning. You know, I do that dry grass stuff with all the nutrients in it. Mix my greens in. That's usually my breakfast. I chug that sucker down. Tastes like literally July dry cut lawn mixed with my orange juice. But hey, it's all right. It's good. Wakes your brain up. And I noticed about 10 minutes after drinking the organic orange juice, I didn't have stomach fry. It's like, wow. Wonder why. Maybe I coated my stomach. Well, you know what? The next day I made my greens with the organic orange juice. And guess what? No stomach fry. After 3 days, I was like, wait a second. This isn't like a fluke. This organic orange juice is not frying my stomach. So I went onto YouTube. I actually found the brand of orange juice. I won't name it. But the one that we were buying, it's a common one in the stores. Before I found this organic orange juice, and it was a how it's made. So I'm watching. Do you know they literally dump the oranges in. I mean, they were just showing like an actual day in the life at the factory of making this common orange juice. They take the truck, they back it up, they lift bed it up, the oranges dump out, and as the guy is standing in the lift bed, he's got one of those, I don't remember what they're called, the high pressure restaurant hoses. You know what I'm talking about? There's actually a name for them if you ever worked in like a restaurant or in the back where you're hosing down all the metal. But it's one of those high spray restaurant hoses. And he's spraying all the oranges as they're spilling off the truck onto the conveyor belt. And it's like, oh, they must like run them now through a peeler or a soapy bath of something to get all those poison citrus pesticides off of those oranges. Well, guess what? They roll off the conveyor belt into what? Oh, a juicer. And it's sitting there going, pah, 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 with each orange, with all of its dirty pesticide-laden peels on it, as it's all mixing together and dumping into the vat of what becomes juice. That's why it fries the shit out of my stomach. I'm pretty sure of it. I don't know, they just dumped off 5,000 oranges laden with pesticides. Because it's not organic orange juice, so that means they could use pesticides illegally. And that's all ending up in the shit that then ends up in the carton that ends up in your refrigerator. Anyway, I don't know. I don't have any proof that it's the pesticides that's causing the stomach burn, but I'm telling you, I've had issues for years now with orange juice. It doesn't happen with organic orange juice. And that is from my personal observation. Nothing that I read. But I did it again this morning. And guess what? No stomach burn. This has been quite a number of weeks now. It's just amazing the difference that food without chemicals and poisons can make in your life. All right. That was very long-winded 14 minutes of blabbing. It has nothing to do with fungus on the brain, like we were talking about at the end of the show yesterday. So, anyway, the way we ended the show, the title of the article was "The Fungal Infection of the Brain Could Be Linked to Alzheimer's." I guess we'll start here, because we have some brain stuff we're going to do, and then some mosquitoes. A simple brain fungus could be behind some forms of Alzheimer's, a controversial new study suggests, after the same type of fungal infection was found in brains affected by the degenerative disease. While the results are intriguing and antifungal treatments are now being explored, critics are saying it is too soon to tell if this could be one of the possibly many underlying causes of Alzheimer's. And yeah, we've run across probably 5 or 6 different things that they're like, oh, look, we think this might cause Alzheimer's. Oh, look, this is also causing degenerative brain diseases. Oh, it's an epidemic. There's lots of things. And I really think it's kind of a symptom of a poison world, to be honest with you. I'm sure that in the past, before all the GMO and the chemicals and the synthetics were all pumped into our environment, I'm sure that there probably was still dementia and degenerative diseases. They had Khufu, no, what was it called? Kuru, where like in the islands where they used to eat the brains, right? They were the cannibals, or they'd eat the monkey brains. Like in the Indiana Jones, one of the Indiana Jones movies. They did used to do that. And those villagers, those natives, I don't remember what island it was. Indonesia, maybe. It was somewhere in the South Pacific. But there was a syndrome that they used to get. And scientists blame that on eating the brain tissue, and that was kind of when mad cow disease, BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, I had to say it at least once, that was where they first got the tip off, that part of where some of this mad cow or BSE was coming from was the nerve and brain tissue in the animal because of the original South Pacific disease. So anyway, just saying, I'm certain that degenerative disease was not epidemic like it is now in these times. And I'm sure it has something to do with the poisons that we consume, breathe, eat, live, drink every day. All right. Anyway, possibility that Alzheimer's is a fungal disease or that fungal infection is a risk factor for the disease opens new perspectives for effective therapies for these patients, concludes the report published in Scientific Reports. The slow progression of the disease fits well with the chronic nature of fungal infections if they remain untreated. You know, I thought about that statement last night because that was one of the last things we read before the end of the show. And honestly, the chronic nature of disease is something that no one ever talks about. You know, doctors, you go to a doctor to try and fix you like a broken toy, you know, oh, doc, and then you're disappointed because the doctor couldn't fix you. Well, the thing is that a lot of times, you know, unless it's something catastrophic, unless it's a cold or an infection or whatever, and even in that case, could still be coming for a while. You know, it's not like bang. Most of the time, illnesses don't just hit you like bang. Oh my God, I didn't see it coming. Sometimes, but a lot of times, there have been signs and symptoms for a long time before that that you ignored. Okay? So illness, whether it be fungal or viral or bacteria, I don't know, virus and bacteria, maybe those would be ones. But you know what? If it's something that's low grade, if it's something that's chronic, inflammation, you constantly have inflammation. You constantly, like, damage your body in the same place time and time and time again. It's going to leave scar tissue. That's the way the body works, is it's trying to heal and it's trying to replicate those cells to replace the ones that were injured. And eventually, it's not going to work as well for the repair. And you're going to have the inflammation. You're going to have some sort of DNA misfire as it's trying to fix whatever. You're going to have broken DNA. You're going to have disease. There's no, I mean, and we're setting this one up good. Though it is toward the end of the show here, but being able to fix DNA in live creatures up until this point was not something that I would say would even be something considered possible. But guess what? They have done it now for the first time, at least that they admit, in a mammal. Yes, they did. And we've looked at that. They fixed genetic disorders in a living creature. Oh, and I'm sure they use CRISPR-Cas9. All right, let's finish this brain crap so we can get there. And I don't know if we're going to read this whole thing because you know how it is. Some of these get so scientific and it's like, damn, it's too early for that. This is a team of molecular biologists led by Luis Carrasco from the University of Madrid in Spain. We did read this one too. Examine the brains of 25 cadavers. Gotta love that. I'm sure that they all dedicated their bodies to science, 14 of which had the degenerative disease. All of the 14 brains were found to have the same fungus, whereby the other 11 healthy brains showed no trace of it at all. And even with such a small sample size, that is a strong correlation, and the team is trying to figure out exactly what that means. At this stage, it is not clear whether the fungus could be causing the disease or vice versa, but it has the potential to give the doctors a clear target for treatment. You know, it is interesting, too, because there's a lot of fungus in our environment. I know myself, after having gone through, you know, if anyone's gotten allergy testing before where you get the needle things up and down the arms, I've had to do that a few times in my life. because of allergies. And this last time, probably about 5-6 years ago, when I had to go get some testing done, we discovered that one of my big allergies is mold. And in the springtime and spring to summer, once you get the rains and then there's all the wet leaves and everything's just kind of percolating under there, there's definitely a lot of mold around. We had a wet summer a couple summers back too, and when it's hot and humid like that, we were getting that milky spore mold growing on everything. And I'll tell you, just breathing is difficult for me. I mean, all my nasal passages just go and just blow up like a balloon. And I couldn't imagine, you know, some of that fungus, and I don't know, we talked about fungal infections in the sinuses yesterday. They're very hard to get rid of. Knock on wood, I don't think I've ever had one, but I had a few friends that literally, I mean, they went to their doctors probably 9 times. They had to go to ear, nose, and throat specialists. They're running tests. They freaking CAT scans and x-rays of their head, telling them that they got freaking sinus cancer and shit because they got blood and shit, you know, and it ends up, I remember my friend called me. He's like, you're not going to believe what this doctor gave me, this antibiotic and blah, blah, blah. And then we had to do this and we were doing the salt. What's it called? That neti pot crap. Doing the salt. And you're not going to believe what they think it was. They think it was a fungal infection. It's like no one ever thinks of that. But fungus is very abundant in our environment. And you also got to worry about it becoming more virulent. You know, as our environment is changing, just like our bodies are fighting back against all the poisons that are being put into it, you know, i.e. autoimmune disease, the environment, just because we don't see it, I can guarantee you that the environment is doing something very similar as, you know, the changes that we've made or things that we've done that have made changes to the environment are causing these other organisms to have difficulty in existing. I mean, that's called self-preservation, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. All living organisms have self-preservation. If you can stop yourself from being killed, you will. And there's no right or wrong involved there. It is a reaction that is so ingrained into us that there's nothing that you can do to change that unless you're, you know, I don't know, you could be a martyr. You want to be a martyr? Go for it. I'm not up for being a martyr. If, you know, if there's something coming down and you're going to get killed, I still say the majority of us will do whatever it takes in that last instant to try not to be killed. So, but I think a lot of organisms in the environment do the same thing. And as our environment becomes more and more hostile, there are living creatures that are, for lack of a better term, evolving because of the environment around them. And I mean, they reproduce a lot quicker than we do, for insects, let's say, or fungi, bacterias. And as they're exposed to different things in the environment, it could mutate or change. Or, you know, like we saw even with the robots, the next generation creating the last generation, they were actually building in the new traits that became beneficial for them into the next generation. Exactly how evolution supposedly works. So all I'm saying is, as our environment gets more and more polluted, there's a good chance, we've seen it in bacteria since Fukushima, there's a good chance that the next generation, we've seen it in antibiotic-resistant bacteria as well, that the next generation of whatever the organism is going to come out changed, stronger, more virulent to combat whatever is causing its strife. And you might be the unlucky individual on the other end of that newfound super fungus infection. Just saying, you know, I mean, they don't think that it can happen, but they're already finding it with bacteria all over the place. And they have warned of that. Of course, they're going to blame it all on global warming. But I don't think that global warming is the cause for all this. Maybe a little bit of heat, but I don't think it's global warming. I think this is all cyclical. You know, my friend and I were just talking the other day. I mean, literally 2 years ago, maybe three, were we going into an ice age? Weren't scientists saying that? And they're pointing at all the data and they're like, look, the sun's getting dimmer. Look, we're heading into an ice age. And then we had Noah this past year, 2015, take all the historical climate data ever. And then they went, oh, you know what? Those buoys that took all that data that was showing that we actually had a whole cooling period, those buoys were defective. So we're going to erase like that 10 years worth of data. And look, now we're showing climate change. It's global warming, everyone. It was never cooling ever. We were wrong. Now let's go to France and get COP21 off the ground and kick off the Green Army. It's just, it's ridiculous. How in a small window of time can you come up with some sort of global assessment? I mean, I'm not saying things aren't melting in that. I think our climate is damaged. I think some of the messed up experiments that they've been doing at a government end, you know, I just watched, I don't know if anyone's watched any lectures, and I'm sure you guys have. I just haven't had time to sit down and watch a 2-hour lecture till the other night. I said, screw it. Nick Begich, I know he was, I think he was on here once. We might have had him on as a guest way, way back. Nick Begich. Begich. There's noises coming out of my computer, and I'm not even broadcasting on that one. Let's unplug the speakers before it starts talking to me. Wow, that was weird. Nick Begich, I watched a 2-hour lecture from him over the weekend in regards to HAARP and all the things that he knows and how it works and who's involved and the different countries that are messing with the stuff and all of the things that it can do. And I can tell you, I've read a lot over the last 5 years or so about some of the things that they can do with frequencies. And this is kind of where this all came from, right? We were last week talking about frequencies and some of the things that they've been messing with and some of the future potentials with what they can do. But, you know, DARPA being involved in a lot of this stuff, and oh, I know it was in regards to Project Loon with Google. But DARPA being involved in a lot of this technology from all the different perspectives, all the mad science gone mad, really tells me that it's not, this isn't natural, guys. It's not. It is absolutely Pandora's box opened. We no longer have a petri dish or a lab. It is all going on for real. And maybe some lunatic decided that's the best way to get the time clock ticking to put some feet over the fire to make some stuff happen. I don't know. You know what? I'm bored of this fungal Alzheimer's story, so we're going to skip over it now. Now I've gone way too far down the rabbit hole, so I don't know. We're about half done with the show, and I got all these brain stories before I get to the genetic modification. I think we're going to maybe save... Let's see, there's one brain, there's two brains, and there's three brains. Yeah, I think we're gonna jump on the brain story tomorrow. We'll do a brain day tomorrow. Because right now we're on this genetically modified mad science, and that brings me right to Oxitec. Let's go there. So we talked about the mosquitoes. Oh, since last week, I think we mentioned them a couple times now. In regards to that new disease, it was dengue they were all concerned about at first, and it's some sort of similar illness to dengue. And lo and behold, right as the Zika disease started showing up around South America, they announced too, hey, we just came out with a dengue vaccine that didn't exist before. We didn't have anything for that before. So we're here to save you. And look, now there's a new epidemic, so I'm sure they'll be here to save them soon. And this time with pregnant women. How interesting is that? They always want to experiment on pregnant women. Pregnant women should get the flu shot now. I just saw, too, that universal flu vaccine that I've been talking about. They were telling us about it since 2006 in that FEMA class. Well, they're really close to it now. I really predict 2016 they're going to pull something. I really think they're going to pull out that Project BioShield and their Google Medevac drones to deliver vaccines. Remember, that was the first test they did for Amazon. When they were testing the Amazon delivery drones, they delivered vaccines. I don't think that's a coincidence. Anyway, so let's get now to these mosquitoes. Mosquitoes being used as a disease vector. Well, even more than mosquitoes being used as a disease vector, a lot of this is being used as disease vectors. Good old Oxitec, creators of the genetically modified mosquitoes that have been released all over in the warm nether regions of the planet. Pioneer of insect control solutions. As of August of 2015, is to be acquired by InterExon for $160 million. Now, when that happens, we did some digging into InterExon. Here's some things that are pretty interesting about InterExon. 2015 was an impressive year for InterExon, which made multiple announcements to expand its leadership in synthetic biology. That's what it all comes down to. Earlier this year, the company acquired Okanagan Specialty Fruits, which happens to be the agricultural company behind the world's first non-browning apple. Hey, we saw that, didn't we? They want to spin and market that to Johnny's lunch. Because Johnny doesn't like when he opens his lunchbox and his apples are brown. So we now have this genetically modified non-browning apple that we're marketing for children's lunches, that we even had a mom. We read an op-ed by a mom who said that she did not feel guilty feeding her kids standard GMO foods because they were just as nutritious and cheaper than the clean organic stuff. So InterExon acquired Oxitec. They acquired Okanagan Specialty Fruits. They acquired Actogenics, which engineers food-grade microbes that secrete biotherapeutics into the gastrointestinal tract. What? Oh, yes. We need to look into Actogenics. You know, one of the big things we read about that they were targeting and DARPA was doing all kinds of research in was into the microbiome. Remember? The brain-gut connection. They have their whole ElectRx program to find ways to use magnetic fields, electrical shocks, and frequencies to manipulate the vagus nerve that goes from your gut to your brain and touches all your major organs. They said that cracking the microbiome would probably be one of the biggest things of the 21st century because it has so much influence on our body, our mood, our mental state, and how they all function together. It is the operating system. It is the brain. It's the second brain of the body, and that microbiota that lives there has a lot of control over it. You know, when you have leaky gut syndrome, that means that your bacteria isn't doing too well. Your body isn't properly digesting nutrients. So, to have a company, Actogenics, which focuses on engineered food-grade microbes that secrete biotherapeutics in the gastrointestinal tract. It's a little frightening. We found out to get some of this newfangled technology across that blood-brain barrier, there were two ways that were very effective. One was intranasally, sucking it up your nose, and the other way was by ingestion through the small intestine as a part of the edibles, right? We looked at those edible GMO vaccines that they were tinkering with. This is pretty frightening. They even call them biotherapeutics. We went back and looked at some of Nestle's GMO stuff. Oh, this was way back. This was probably spring of last year. They had that whole division that was working on like nutraceuticals, right? To be able to cure you through your food. Maybe it'll cure you by whatever they put into your food, because don't worry about it. We're getting rid of quietly all these labeling laws. We don't want you to know what you're eating. We don't want you to know that we've put some sort of, I don't know, bacteria strain that, oh, by the way, we're getting really, really, really good at genetically modifying bacteria and making them express things that they never expressed before. I just saw one where they modified a bacteria to have it. Remember, synthetic biology and a lot of this going on is under the Department of Energy and under the feds. We looked at that synthetic biology report presented to Congress in 2013 that came directly out of the DOE. But I lost my train of thought. I don't know why I got off on that tangent. But anyway, oh, I know that I just saw a story the other day about this genetically modified bacteria where its byproduct is a hydrogen biofuel. Oh, the bacteria didn't produce that before, but they tweaked it and CRISPR-Cas9 did. I don't know what they did. They did. They snipped out some things here and there, kind of like the cows, that they snipped out the cow milk DNA, right? And they snipped in the human milk DNA and then cloned them. And now they have all these great cows, and who knows? I don't know. I was going to get into clones and stuff today, maybe. It's a pretty scary thought. So anyway, this Actogenics, Actogenix, we might dig into them tomorrow, are making engineered food-grade microbes that secrete biotherapeutics into the gastrointestinal tract. So this is also purchased by InterExon in 2015. And then they also bought the remaining stake in Exemplar Genetics, which develops what? Oh, transgenic swine models. Now, we looked at some of the swine flu and the fake swine flu, swine, bird, dog, human, whatever it was, flu, 2009 yesterday. We also looked at genetically modified pigs. And actually, this is a good point to look at this. Genetically modified pigs at that new cloning. They got the clone factory for pigs in China. They got these pigs that they're using human stem cells, and they're growing organ scaffolds using stem cells, and then they're implanting them into pigs to be able to, in the future, cut out and transplant into you and me. And hey, Johnny can grow his own kidney now inside of Porky the pig. It's disturbing. You know, I'm sure that they're probably using some sort of swine blood or swine who knows what in vaccine development as well. So, hey, same place that's making Johnny's non-browning apple now also owns the remaining stake in Exemplar Genetics, which develops transgenic swine models. Let's read a little bit more of this, and then I want to back up here. We're going to get back to the pig. InterExon is also expanding its health programs through a collaboration with Merck Serono, which I don't know. That must be some sort of Merck subsidiary. Merck Serono to develop and commercialize CART, C-A-R-T, cancer therapies. They're also expanding their health program through collaboration with Synthetic Biologics, and we've run into them before, with developments of biotherapies for PKU. Now, PKU, that's a genetic disease. PKU, well, yeah, it's kind of rare, but we ran into PKU before. I don't know if anyone remembers. I'm trying to remember. Hold on. I remembered yesterday. It was a genetic disease that they made them. We ran into them in one of our damaging scientific articles. And damn it, I'm going to have to look this one up, but not right now. But that PKU came up as them pointing to all the people who were treated for PKU back when they were treating people for PKU. And they all ended up getting damaged. They did some bad stuff. Oh, shit. I wish I remembered. Well, we'll dig into it. I don't want to get off on a tangent. I'm like 42 minutes on a tangent now. Anyway, so they are working through their health program with the Synthetic Biologics to develop biotherapeutics for PKU. Don't let me forget that one tomorrow, because that PKU came up in some really deep research that we did. Oh, I know. It was with the pituitary gland of cadavers. They were making these people take as therapy. But it caused some real issues. Those people all got sick. They ended up, it was the Alzheimer's. That's what it was. Hey, I remember. It was, and we mentioned that story yesterday, where they think now that Alzheimer's could potentially be contagious. Well, they started discovering that these cadaver pituitaries, or whatever they were, whatever gland it was, they were grinding up from the dead people and giving it to these PKU patients, that they had been infected with the Alzheimer's, with the malformed proteins. And so these PKU patients all got it. They got brain wasting disease. So the Synthetic Biologics is now working on some new biotherapeutics for PKU. And they're involved with InterExon. Says with Futura Gene, F-U-T-U-R-A gene, InterExon entered into a collaboration to increase biomass in eucalyptus and popular trees for biofuels and the agricultural market. Remember, eucalyptus is like the main food of the cute little koala bear. Another Australian creature that's having some real difficulty now, just like the poor little Tasmanian devil we looked at yesterday with the weird, freaky, contagious facial cancer that spreads and kills very quickly. In his most recent announcement, InterExon's acquisition of Oxitec, that's what we were getting to, the genetically modified mosquito company, for $160 million, a spin-out from Oxford University, founded in 2000, Oxitec developed mosquito strains whose offspring die before reproducing, reduces the size of the disease-carrying population. InterExon aims to integrate its synthetic biology platform with Oxitec's technology to protect communities from dengue fever, as well as against agricultural pests that impact the world's food supply. Dun, dun, dun. Cue up the scary music. So not only do we already have Oxitec's genetically modified flying freaks out there, but now InterExon is going to take their synthetic biology platform and go, oh, look, we have a few other ways to flip this switch and to do that. And, oh, look, we can add poison here. We're going to integrate it all together to make some new Frankenstein mosquitoes that we might be able to torture third worlds with. and see what happens. This is why did Oxitec open mosquito factories? They did. When I read that, I was like, they opened mosquito factories. And I was just picturing a lab with a little petri dish and somebody artificially inseminating. I don't know. Doing little tiny tweezers and a microscope, flipping switches. I wasn't thinking factories like big old Chinese cloning factories. No, I wasn't thinking that at all. So why did Oxitec open mosquito factories? Well, mosquitoes are the world's deadliest animals, according to Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I just threw that in there. Killing around 725,000 people a year. They carry devastating diseases such as malaria, which can cost billions of dollars in lost productivity annually and threaten half of the world's population. Additionally, dengue, out of the blue, has become the world's fastest growing mosquito-borne illness ever, with approximately 390 million infections a year. Wow, good profit on that one. Especially since a vaccine just came out. And in the last 50 years, these insects have infested over 120 countries. And the incidence of disease has grown 30-fold. Now remember, they used to spray mosquitoes with things such as DDT and other insecticides. And guess what happened to the mosquitoes? Self-preservation through evolution. Yes, just like all these other organisms, the mosquito evolved and was no longer affected by the poisons that they'd been using to spray on them. That's their justification for this GMO mosquito, by the way, is because, well, pesticides don't really work anymore and they're toxic to the environment. So let's just flip some switches and make little flying freaks that can do anything we want, and they can go bite people too, and then we can use them as part of our covert biowarfare testing on the population. Guys, I really think that some of that is exactly what's going on right now in South America. How could that be? That is not a coincidence that they just released these mosquitoes and now we got this freak thing going on in Brazil. Epidemic proportions and all these babies being born defective because these mothers got bitten by mosquitoes. And I mean, I know it's possible. There's tropical diseases out there. It's very possible. But what timing? I mean, within 6 months of these mosquitoes being released, we now have epidemic proportions of this new disease that's causing malformed development in the children, just like what they were experimenting with in the lab with these mosquitoes. One of the traditional ways to kill mosquitoes is the application of larvicides to bodies of water where mosquitoes reproduce. But it is extraordinarily difficult to apply these chemicals to every puddle, bird bath, and tree trunk. And alternatively, the insects can be killed as they fly around by spraying chemicals. But this is also a very inefficient process. I say get more bats. Bats eat, I don't know, 100 times their weight in insects. And they love mosquitoes. Oh, but wait, all the bats are dying. Oh, because they have some weird fungal disease of the nose. The Oxitec team aimed to develop an effective technique to bring down the populations of specific insects, such as the mosquito, that transmit dengue to humans. This technique, they thought, should be safe to humans, relatively cost-effective, and directed at a single species, which is the Aegyptae, and therefore not affecting the broader ecosystem. Well, they're wrong. You know, we started finding, too, there was some question about whether or not these genetically modified mosquitoes, the females biting a human, could pass some of that modified DNA in the bloodstream? And it was a good question, and I don't think that they ever really came up with a yes or no answer. I'm going to say yes, there's definitely a potential. It's all because it's a big we don't know. We don't know. We haven't done 20 years of testing in a lab. They're just letting them go to see what happens. And of course, they're going to say, well, the males don't bite. No, the males don't bite. And it's the males that are carrying the genetic modification that then are fertilizing the eggs that then are dying before they reach maturity. But on the other hand, it's very possible somewhere along the way you're going to get some freak mosquito, half male, half female, that can bite. I don't know. It happens. It happens in nature. So anyway, Oxtec took advantage of two features of the mosquito's biology to help them with this technology. And remember, they used CRISPR-Cas9 to edit these. We dug deep into how they were doing the editing and what they were changing back a few months ago. It says the first one is males don't bite. Hey, I knew that. And therefore do not transmit disease. And males are good at finding females to produce offspring. A single female will lay up to 100 eggs at a time. Up to 500 eggs in her lifetime. Scientists use genetic engineering to develop sterile males, which seek out and mate with the females. And any offspring will not survive to adulthood. So the mosquito population rapidly declines, and no modified mosquitoes are passed on to any, or modified genes are passed on to any viable offspring. No. What they talked about doing with these mosquitoes, there were two ways that they were running this, and one was called population suppression, and that was to reduce the population of these mosquitoes where they were endemic, pandemic, epidemic, reduce the population down to manageable numbers, population reduction. But then we had the other way that Oxtec was working on these mosquitoes, and that was using the gene drive. That was being able to make a modification and then run it so it gets replicated through every future mosquito that is born. And that process was called population elimination. And they were like, you know, we could just wipe out entire species. And we read that yesterday, too, as well, in regards to some of the other science that they're doing. You know, this technology, they make it sound like it's cool and it's new. And, yeah, I'm sure it was at one time. But what they don't tell the public is that this technology is so dangerous, it could wipe out entire populations in one generation. And as we know, the rich oligarchs out there talking about how there's not enough air, there's not enough water, there's not enough food, there's not enough land, there's too many people. We got to take care of that stuff, and we're going to do it for the good of the planet. I'd be a little worried about this technology being in the hands that it's in. I'd be worried about it being in anybody's hands. I wouldn't trust anybody. One set of hands interacts on with this technology. Anyway, the company develops millions of mosquitoes each month, which can be deployed until the desired population reduction, there you go, ding ding, has been achieved. And funny in that sentence, they don't mention which population reduction. The sentence just reads, the company develops millions of mosquitoes each month, which can be deployed until the desired population reduction has been achieved. They're little flying vaccines. No wonder Bill Gates loved mosquitoes so much. And let them go at his Microsoft meeting. Do you remember that? Maybe it was a Bill and Melinda Gates meeting. TEDx, I think, is what they were doing. Anyway, so let's read a little bit more. In addition to health programs InterExon will continue to develop Oxitec's technology for agricultural applications, and it is estimated that 20 to 40% of food production is lost every year to insect pests, despite widespread pesticide use. The sterile insect technique, in which male insects are sterilized by what? Oh, radiation! Holy crap! Has been used worldwide for more than 50 years to tackle various pests. Well, that's interesting. But its downside is that simply using radiation causes mutations as well in many genes, and then decreases the insect's mating competitiveness. Instead, Oxitec uses just one gene to introduce sterility without affecting competitiveness, and a color marker gene for monitoring the results. So, guess what? InterExon has discovered a way to just splice one gene and completely render the creature sterile. Thus, InterExon hopes to apply the insect control technology to integrated pest management programs, which many growers around the world are adopting to produce food in a more sustainable manner. And don't forget, we also had Monsanto that, instead of using pesticides, started using RNAi technology not only in their food, but they were using that RNAi technology, so when the pests consume that food, it flips switches that then cause the creatures to die. Oxitec has received approval for open field trials where? Oh, in the United States. So I guess they dropped their pants now. And where? In Brazil, guys. Ding, da-da, ding, ding, ding. To trial two strains of agricultural insect controls of what? The diamondback moth and the Mediterranean fruit fly. Put on a seatbelt, people. They just opened us up to be now the big old petri dish for mosquitoes in the good old U.S. of A., as well as those diamondback moths that they let loose in New York. All right, make sure you stick around, guys. It is Tuesday. We have Mr. Kevin Blanche live up next, and then all kinds of live radio tonight, 7 p.m. Ron with Game On live, 8, Tim Kelly, Our Interesting Times, 9, Primer Time with Michael and Nick, 10, Geoengineering Watch with Dane, and 11, SM Gibson with Antimedia Radio. All right, have an awesome Tuesday.